So as Pastor Josh said, Pastor Wes and Serena are on vacation. For me, it's really an honor or privilege to come and be able to speak. And I always like to say, if you're with us for the first time, you know, just please make sure you know I'm not the regular speaker. Come back here, Pastor Wes. He's phenomenal teacher and preacher. And I always also say that if you like the message today, every week, because some day you may hear me again. I also like to tell people I have a lazy eye. It's my left eye, so sometimes I'm looking in both ways at the same time and may or not be looking at you. But I know that through I've had it my whole life, and I know that there are times when people will be I'll see them looking around like, what's he looking at? You know, well. Thing. How many of you like got excited for the fireworks? Yeah, anybody clap for the fireworks? You get excited, you know, big booms and ooh, ah, right? So how much more excited should we be here today? Amen. You know, I know I've talked about it before. You know, like you go to the Super Bowl or World Series or Stanley Cup or the races or whatever it may be, you know, and you're just, it's like, just so excited to be there. There's so much energy. Shouldn't there be more of that excitement, more of that energy in here today? Yes, amen. That shouldn't just be our desire, but I believe that's God's desire too, that we would come here today just as excited could be, right? It's not about coming and fulfilling a religious obligation to come to church. It's being excited about Jesus, being excited about God, being excited about what he's done for us and what he's going to do for us. Yeah, expect it, right? An expectation to come and an expectation for God to move. And yeah, and I'm getting way, way, way ahead of myself, but maybe that's okay. So I got a whole bunch of notes, and honestly, don't care if I get, maybe the notes were just for preparation for me today. But the one thing I do want to make sure that we do cover is the Bible declaration. So if you would stand, because I like to be religious in some ways, and the Bible declaration is one where I really like to be. And I'm going to read it today because I know there's a new part. And for all these years that I've been saying, reciting it, I have to stop and pause and read the new parts that we're doing. So let's say it together. This is my Bible. I am what I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, did anybody notice that worship was a little shorter today? Yeah? Well, hang on, okay? So that's on purpose. So we're still in worship. I just want to make that point. We are still in worship. Our praise and worship service that we started with, it was cut a little bit short, but hopefully the message is going to be somewhat short, and we're going to continue with praise and worship at the end. Yeah, amen. So the title of today's message is Faith Through the Roof. For those of you who have been here for a while and have heard me speak maybe the last, I don't know, last several times, but what I've been working through is going through scriptures and going through messages that made an impact on me when I became a Christian. And so taking the things that I've learned and really trying to help and share those. And the series that we've been talking to, I needed those to read the screen, but I don't need them to read this. The things that we have learned is learning about praise and worship, where do we fit within the body, within the church itself, giving, dealing with temptation, and Jesus came for each of us. And And today, again, it's going to be faith through the roof. And the importance of getting in the Lord's presence. And that's why we cut the beginning a little short, just a little push to get us headed that way. And then we'll continue to go there after we talk about the purpose that we'll have for getting back there. So really it is. It's the importance of getting in the Lord's presence as a group, right? I mean, Pastor Wes, he makes it very clear, and we should know and should learn by now that we should get into the Lord's presence daily, right? Through reading his word, through prayer, through our own worship. And then when we get together on Sunday, it's that culmination or that whole group of us getting together, and all of the experiences that we bring from the week, all of the things that we've learned, the things that we've done, we bring that faith together in one place, and there is tremendous power that comes when all of us who have and are filled with the Holy Spirit come together in one place. Amen. Talk a little bit about that. And through the roof, really, the title for through the roof is, it goes with the scripture that we're reading, but it really is to rise to a very high level. I looked up that saying. If you've ever heard the saying, you know, that is through the roof, right? It's just it's a very high level. Unfortunately, in some cases, it's anger, right? His anger was through the roof, right? But I'd rather move beyond that point and just say their excitement was beyond the roof or was, you know, above the roof. Their faith was through the roof, and that's what we're really going to talk about today is how their faith was through the roof. One of the other things that was really interesting to me today is that as I was, or I shouldn't say today, it actually was Friday when I started writing, was the scripture today was the scripture right before the last message that I preached. So if you, when you open up your Bibles, you may see some notes if you write notes in your Bible from the last time I spoke. But turn with me, please, to Luke. And I'm going to read through verse 17. So Luke 5, wave at me when you get there, or look at it on the screen. Alrighty. All right, one day Jesus was teaching. Teachers of the law were sitting there. From every village of Galilee, from Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat, tried to take him into the house to lay him before him. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles in the middle of the crowd. Right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I wanted you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. "We have seen remarkable." Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. God, I thank you for your word. I pray that you just help guide me through it today. God, you know all the things that I've written down. You know the message that you want to come forth. You know the response that you want us to give you. And Lord, I pray that you would use me to do that. Father, guard my mouth. Guard our ears. Guard our hearts. And be glorified in this place. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So there are some things that I'd like to point out in the scripture. There's a lot of real powerful words that are really, I think, buried in the text, and I really want to draw some attention to those. But there's so much, just so much in the scripture, and I just don't want to go on too long. And I'm telling you, the presence of God up here, the presence of the Holy Spirit up here is just awesome. Just awesome. So going back to verse 17, when Jesus was teaching, and it really, the main point in him teaching is that he's providing information in a manner that people would understand. Right, that's a big part of my job at work is teaching. It's one of my favorite parts at work is teaching. And you can stand up in front of people and you can teach and you can put a PowerPoint presentation up and you can go through all of these different bullet points, but unless people are really absorbing what's coming, they're not learning. So if people aren't learning, are you really teaching? Right, so we'll talk here in just a second about who the people that were present that Jesus was teaching, and it goes on to say the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The Pharisees were like the religious rulers of the day. The teachers of the law were the really the lawyers. And they knew the law. They knew the law from Jewish tradition. They were experts in the law and its interpretation. And they played a really crucial role in interpreting the commandments and ensuring that just the daily life of religion. Is what they did. So here's Jesus, and he's teaching. He's trying to make it so they understand. I mean, teaching in a way that they really understand. And some unique things there. One thing that's unique is that these religious rulers and these teachers of the law are drawn to Jesus to be there to hear his teaching. Because what Jesus is teaching really, in some aspects, goes against what they teach, right? The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, Jesus, lots of places in Scripture would talk about how they're hypocrites, right? They're pretenders. They have a form of godliness. They certainly know the laws. They stand by the laws. Their religion is based on the laws, but their hearts are far from. Their hearts are far from God. So there was, I mean, there was lots of people. It said earlier, you know, there was people from all the cities of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, etc. So there was lots of people there. The house was packed, but those who were able to be there and to hear included the religious rulers of the day and the religious lawmakers of the day. Still in verse 17, towards the end, it says, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. And the power is is really miracle-working power, and it's extended meaning is supernatural power, beyond the natural power, is the power that they're talking about there. And for those of you who have heard me speak in the past, one of the things that I know that I've said is you know, it's so funny, in the day of Jesus walking on earth, how all these people, including here today, or in this scripture, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law absolutely believed that Jesus performed miracles, right? That they would say, there's scripture that says that, you know, no doubt he's from God, but they would not believe that he was the Son of God. So they're here, and they actually are believing in miracles. And then in today's day and age, there are many that certainly believe in salvation, but don't believe in the miracle, you know, the miracles that God still performs today, which he does. Verse 18, it says, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Paralyzed is really is saying that he was disabled, right? He wasn't able to do it on his own, right? He may have had the faith to go to get healed, but he physically wasn't able to get there that day when Jesus was preaching and teaching. And when we, that's one of the things that really hit me today, is that as we go back into praise and worship, you know, physically we're here, physically folks are online, but if you're not in the place where you feel like you can get to Jesus, we can make that atmosphere, and we should make that atmosphere with our praise and worship and our collective, you know, our collective work through the week and reaching out and spending time with the Lord. We should be able to bring that power into this place to make that atmosphere for all of us to get there. The mat that they talk about, that he was carrying on him a mat, is is like a stretcher. They're bringing him on a stretcher. I love the one tried. When they tried, it's tried is to look for, to seek out, to try to obtain or desire to possess or strive for. So they had a desire to possess, being in Jesus, in his place, being with him. And then at the end of verse 18, it says to lay him before Jesus. And that really, that is Jesus, when it talks about Jesus there, it's Jesus the man. But it before, to lay it before him is in the presence of, is to bring Jesus, or bring them in the presence of Jesus. That was their goal. In verse 19, says when they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on through his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And went up is to go up or to rise. All right. So if you look at, I mean, taking it, and yeah, they climbed up on the roof, but think of it from a, not the physical realm, but they rose up, right? They brought Jesus to this house. They brought this guy to meet Jesus, who was disabled, who was paralyzed, and they just wanted to get him before Jesus. When they got there, the crowd was so big, and Jesus was inside, and they couldn't get to him, and they rose up. They didn't turn around and go home and say, oh, there's no way we're ever going to get to Jesus, right? We're some crazy friends. We're going to rise up, and we're going to make sure that this guy gets to Jesus. So they did. They rose up, and they did it, you know, mentally, spiritually, and physically. They rose up, they went on the roof. And they tore up the tiles on the roof. Can you imagine what they were risking? Physically risking by, I mean, just think of that today. What would happen today if we had, the doors were locked and somebody wanted to get in here and they couldn't get in? The next thing we know is these tiles are falling down, right? And we look up and here's these people that wanted to get in here so bad that they're boring a hole in the roof to get in to come in. What would happen to them? It probably wouldn't be good. I know the police would probably be called, right? Beyond that, we can only think about what we would do to them. And I won't say it out loud, but it would happen. What are you, crazy? You know, the other thing to think is we're thinking about that and thinking out loud is, what if you got here on a Sunday morning and service was going on, but we forgot to unlock the doors? You know, please don't climb up on the, get a ladder, climb up on the roof and bore through. Call somebody, right? Or come over here, pound on the windows, knock on the windows. But really, or would you say, oh, what a bummer, church is closed today. I think I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going on a picnic. It must be God. The doors are locked. You know, no. Rise up. So when they lowered him down, it says, they lowered him into the middle of the crowd. And the middle of the crowd is really the center. So they brought him to the center of attention, right where Jesus was. And that was it, is right in front of Jesus. Right in front of can be interpreted as in the presence of. You know, that was their goal, was to get there, to get their friend to Jesus. And by their action, they were able to do that and get him in the presence of Jesus. Verse 20 says, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." It's so funny. My notes are my notes are scrambled, which I guess is going to end up being okay. But when we prepare a message for the folks in the back, we circle things in red that we want on the screen. And the program that I'm using wasn't very friendly with me trying to get these red circles to put around things. And I think what I did was I've moved a bunch of stuff around the page. So it's kind of funny. I see these definitions. I was like, wait a minute, the definition's there, but the word's not to define. So we'll that could be a sign. So when Jesus saw their faith, he it says to see it was to perceive their faith. And their faith is the faith is really cool in this particular thing. Is knowing that because of what they're doing, they understand that by the actions that they're taking, they know what the implication is, that the trust, their trust is going to be followed by an action. So they, that probably didn't come out right, because it didn't seem like it came out of my mouth right. But essentially, faith in this, the way this word is used, is to say that they knew, they had faith, they knew, they believed, they perceived that if they got their friend to Jesus, he was going to heal them. That was it. That's why they went to that extreme to get their friend in front of Jesus, is because they knew it. And when Jesus perceived that, he knew that faith. He understood that faith when they did what they did. The other thing that I think is really kind of funny there is, when you know, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. You know, he knew that that was going to set the Pharisees and the teachers of the law off, right? He knew that was going to set them off. And that's what I love. You know, Jesus has what a sense of humor, right? And I say that too. I say, what a sense of humor. Gary Timmer's standing up in front of a church speaking. I mean, he really has a sense of humor to have me up doing this. So verse 21, it says, the Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, who is the fellow who speaks blasphemy? You know, who can forgive sins but the Son of God? And that's exactly what Jesus was doing, was saying your sins are, by saying your sins are forgiven, was making sure that they had an opportunity to understand that he is the Son of God. And I also do, again, I think it's so funny how, you know, they were drawn there because of the miracles. They were drawn there because of the teaching and wanting to, you know, wanting to see what's going on, probably at the time believing he was a, you know, a prophet sent by God. But it was good that they were there, and good that Jesus took this opportunity. And again, I say it today, in many religions, many Christian religions, many Christian denominations, are people that absolutely today believe that Jesus saves, and we know he does, but don't believe that he heals. Back in that day, they believed that he heals, but didn't believe that he would save. So when the Pharisees were thinking to themselves, and Jesus knew what they were, he knew what they were thinking. They really were arguing amongst each other, arguing about Jesus' statement, and wondering why would he say that? Blasphemy is really slander, malicious talk. It's essentially forgive. I like the way forgive comes up here. It's to forgive, to pardon, to remit, or to cancel sin. And I don't think, you know, if they say, my sins are forgiven, right? And we should thank you, Lord, for forgiving my sins. But what if we took it that little bit farther and said, thank you for canceling out my sin, right? We have a tendency not to accept that forgiveness, and we have that tendency to hold on to that forgiveness as well as others would. If we sin against other people, it's hard for them to, you know, it's hard for them to let go of that sin. It's hard for them to move on. And it's hard for us to let go, and hard for us to move on. But you know, forgiveness is that it's a pardon. It's done. It's canceled. Your sin is canceled. It's gone in God's eyes. And how God is used in this verse, it refers to the one true God. Often in the Bible, you'll see where it'll talk about gods, and it could be, you know, it could be a pagan god or an idol. Well, a pagan god is an idol, but this, where God is used here, it is referring to the one true God. In verse 22, it says Jesus knew what they were thinking, and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts?" And when he knew, knew means come to understand. And I like how Pastor Wes refers to it as, sometimes it just gets dropped in your knower, right? You don't know where it came from, but all of a sudden you just know. And so Jesus, he knew what they were, he knew what they, and of course he was God, so it was easier for him than it is for us. But he knew. And when they were thinking, he knew about their doubt, their. And when it says they knew in their hearts is really it's your innermost being. Some believe it's where the soul resides is in your heart, right? The last thing to quit beating before you're gone. But it, you know, in your innermost hearts. Yeah, the sign is soul is the mind and spirit. Heart is similar in meaning to soul, but often the heart has a focus on thinking and understanding. But it's to know it. You know it. You know it deep down with inside. And then Jesus, again with a sense of humor, kind of put back at him in verse 23. He said, "What's easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or get up and walk?" Well, to me, if I read that scripture, up and walk seems a little easier, but he really needed to make a point that day, and he did. When he got and he said get up, to get up really means to arise, but really to come to life. So Jesus was telling him as the disabled man was laying there, was, hey, come to life, right? We believe that he didn't have much of a life because his friends had to bring him there. It also can mean to, like, a new birth, which I think is cool too when we talk about being born again as a born again Christian. But that was it. Get up and walk. Come to life. Walk is really translated to live and conduct your life. Verse 24, he says, I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. To know means to realize or to come to know. Authority, when Jesus is saying that he has authority, it's the power or right to control or govern, and it really is to that he has jurisdiction as a ruler and can point towards the supernatural. So they knew exactly what he was saying when he said authority. They took it as I have the supernatural authority to tell you or to do this. Verse 25, it says, immediately he got up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Stood up, really translated means come back to life. So when he stood up, he came back to life. And praising God was to glorify, give praise and honor, and to God, the one true God. Give praise and honor to the one true God. It's funny, as I was writing that, it reminded me of a television evangelist back in the 90s he'd get done with a statement, he'd say, give him praise and glory. Give him praise and honor. And I think we don't think that or say that enough. Right? I really don't. Give him praise, give him honor, give him, let the glory be his. Verse 26, it says, everyone was amazed. And I actually didn't look up, or I looked it up, but I didn't write it down, but everyone was all, everyone. Right? It was every person there, every person in that room, every person that saw that, every person that saw that heard that was amazed, including the Pharisees, including the teachers of the law. Everyone, all were amazed. And the amazement wasn't like, oh man, that was amazing. It was like amazing to the point of like being in a trance, like, I can't function. That was so amazing, right? I'm almost paralyzed myself because of what I just saw, right? It's like the deepest, I mean, think of the deepest amazement, the deepest exciting that you've ever experienced, ever seen, and multiply it times infinity, right? It's too much. I can't function now. It's so amazing. How many of you could use some of that amazement? I know I could. Amen. All day long. All day long. And but how many of us, how do you know, do you think that? Do you think that on a regular basis? Again, let's give God glory. We're all people, we have stuff. Right? We have stuff. Our people have stuff. There is stuff going on all around us. We prayed for the families in Texas and the families of the kids that got washed away in the flood in Texas at Bible camp, right? We know about their stuff. And we got our own stuff. And I think of these crazy friends carrying their buddy on a stretcher to bring him to Jesus because they know that's what he needs, is to come to Jesus, to be in Jesus' presence. That's what he needs. If they can get him to Jesus' presence, everything is going to be good. They knew that. And so they did everything that they could to do that, to get him there. And that's what we're supposed to be. That's what we do for each other as a church. That's what we do together as a family. We should, every time we come together, we should come here with that expectation that we are going to get in the presence of God because we need to get in the presence of God, because our friends need to get in the presence of God, our families need to get in the presence of God. We just need to get in the presence of God. And you know what? Some days you may walk in here, some days I may walk in here, and I'm not in the right place to get in the presence of God. But if other people are and the presence of God is here, I'm going to be there. Right? If the presence of God is so full in this place, you it's like you can't escape it. I mean, and I remember that before I was saved, before I was born again, being in a house of worship where the presence of God was so full and so strong. You know what I did when I was in there? I just cried. I couldn't do anything else. I didn't even know really what it was that was doing it. I didn't know that it was the Holy Spirit knocking on my heart saying, come on, Gary, pay attention. But because the people there were there and worshiped, and they worshiped, and they got in the presence of God, I was able to get in God's presence. And praise team, if you want to come up, I'm gonna wrap this up. And I did the Gary translation, newly inspired Gary version of those scriptures. And as Pastor West says, and I pray to do the same thing. I'm not rewriting scripture. I'm just it's an amplified version. It says, one day Jesus was providing information in a manner intended to produce understanding, and religious teachers and rulers of the day, who were experts in Mosaic laws and interpretation, were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the supernatural power of the Lord with the ability to conduct miracles was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a disabled man on a stretcher to seek out to place him in the presence of Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they rose up on a roof and lowered him on a stretcher through the tiles into the center of the crowd, into the presence of Jesus the Savior. And I don't think I said that, but when Jesus' name, in that scripture, Jesus' name, Jesus meant the Savior. There's other parts in that scripture where Jesus was Jesus. He was the man, was the person. But in that context, Jesus was the Savior. When Jesus perceived their faith, faithfulness, belief, trust, that because they got in his presence, their friend would be healed, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven and canceled." The religious teachers and rulers of the day, who were experts in Mosaic law and in its interpretation, began to ponder and argue amongst themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy, slander, and malicious talk? Who can pardon sins but the one true God alone?" Jesus fully recognized and came to understand what they doubted and were arguing about it, and asked, "Why are you disputing these things in your innermost soul? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, you are restored from a damaged state, now go live? But I want you to possess information and realize that the Son of Man has the right and supernatural authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your stretcher, and go home." Immediately he stood up as if to come alive in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, giving glory to the one true God. Everyone was in deep astonishment, as deep as if they were in a trance, and gave praise and honor to the one true God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." So today, as we continue, I want our goal, our purpose right now, as we praise, as we worship, should be to get in the presence of the Lord. Get in the presence of the Lord. We're a family here. If you've been with us, you come the first time, you're a visitor. You might even be family by the time you leave that first time, but definitely when you come back, you're family. We're in the presence of family. If you feel like you can't get to the Lord today, if you don't feel like you can get in the presence of the Holy Spirit today, let your family, let your friends help you get there through prayer, through our praise and worship. Let seek somebody out that you know, if you know their name or you don't know, or raise your hand and let others come to you to pray for you and pray with you and worship. If you start to sing and all of a sudden the distractions come in, just say, "Distractions, go away. In Jesus' name, go away." Focus on the words, focus on the song, focus on Jesus. But don't leave this place today until you've been in the presence of the Lord. I'm going to go to the drum set, but there are lots of people in here that love to pray, that have that faith, for healing, have the faith for whatever you need. They have that faith. You may not, but they do have the faith for anything. Anything.